السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام على سیدنا المصطفى صلی اللہ علیہ وعلى آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters listening over receivers, and also channel Islam listeners, as far as the night of Mi'raj is concerned, we have to be very clear in our minds that the significance and virtue of this night of Mi'raj was the night in which Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken from Masjid-e-Haram to Masjid-e-Aqsa and then above the seven heavens and brought into the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As far as celebration of this night is concerned, so it's obvious that there is no celebration of the night. In many masajid, it's written that this night will be celebrated. Now, there is no celebration of this night. Why we get together is to listen to what happened on the night of Mi'raj, so that we may translate it into action. That is the purpose. Otherwise, if you have to ask, when is Laylatul Qadr, we can say search for it in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. When you say, when is Laylatul Barat, we say it's the 15th night of Shaban. When a person has to ask, when is the night of Eid, then we will say on the 29th night, look for the moon. If the moon is sighted, then that is the night of Eid. And the virtue of that night is what has been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. The same with Eidul Adha, we know when is the night. So those nights have been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif and their virtues have been given. With regards to Laylatul Mi'raj, first of all, there is a difference of opinion amongst the muhaddiseen and the historians. Looking at the different ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, some have mentioned that this Mi'raj took place in the 10th year of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's nubuwat. Some said it was a year before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrat. Some say it was 16 months before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrat. So there are different aqwal, different time periods that have been given. But there is no doubt that it was a glorious event. It was a great miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And those people who have been listening to my Mi'raj talks over the years, I have repeatedly mentioned that the whole purpose of the talk is so that we may take some lessons and then implement it in our lives. As far as the facts are concerned, there's so much of literature that is now available. If you look back 20 years ago, 30 years ago, what little we used to learn was from the bayans that used to take place. We never had that amount of Islamic literature in the English language as is available today. Long before the night comes, whether it is Barat or whether it is the day of Ashura or whether it is Eid or whether it is Ramadan or whether it is Muharram, whatever the significant month or day or night, long before it arrives, we will find all the masajid flooded with literature. The Islamic stations or the radio stations which broadcast Islamic programs, they carry out many, many different programs, or they undertake many programs. And lots of people who listening to those stations, they could have already heard so much on what is Mi'raj night all about. So there is no new facts that we can bring about when it comes to these nights or those Mubarak days. Whatever we have in the Hadith Sharif, it is going to be repeated. It is just to refreshen our minds and our memories, and to take a stock of ourselves that how much improvement we have made on our lives after we heard the last Mi'raj Bayan. Who does not know that the great gift of Mi'raj was the Salat, the 5 times Salat. So now we have to take a stock of our lives, that do we have the 5 times Salat in our lives? Do our children have 5 times Salat in their lives? Do our wives have 5 times Salat in their lives? Do our daughters have 5 times Salat in their lives? Our family members, Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So as far as this Mi'raj is concerned, we know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in the house of Umme Hani. Now again, there are different reports. I am not going to give you anything in sequence. Tonight we will just mention some of the main points, as we have been doing in the past. In the past, many a time we discussed it in great detail. So now tonight we are just going to discuss some of the important points and refreshen our memories, strengthen our iman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I mentioned previously also, we have to look at the period or time before this Mi'raj took place. Now if it was a year before Hijrah, or it was in the 10th year, then we know at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had just come out of the 3 solid years of ostracism and boycott. I will repeat that had we been in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we had been in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we would have said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you claim to be a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. You claim to be the greatest after Allah Ta'ala. Or that is, that you have been blessed with the prophethood. You are the last of all messengers. He was the greatest after Allah. And yet you have to go through such kind of suffering that 3 years there's such a boycott that where you and your companions, the time comes when you have to chew leaves of trees for survival. Could not Allah Ta'ala have sent one angel and destroyed these enemies of yours? Could not he have done the same thing that he did in the time of Qawm Lut, that those people were engaged in homosexual activities, so how the whole Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities were toppled upside down, and how stones rained upon them. The same thing could have happened to this Quraysh who had carried out this boycott and ostracism. But there was great wisdom and hikmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in whatever He does. If that had happened, then we would not have had all these great, great companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They would have all been destroyed. Then what would have happened about Islam? Allah Ta'ala gave them hidayat, Allah Ta'ala blessed them with Islam and Iman later on, and they became the soldiers of Islam. So that is a different issue, but what we are saying is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, was his dua not accepted? We would have said that the moment you raise your hands, immediately this boycott must end. Immediately there must be fatah of Makkah, conquest of Makkah Sharif. Immediately this must happen, that must happen. And yet look at the test that they are undergoing, 3 solid years. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions had just come out of that. To read also that history of that ostracism and boycott is such that it causes a person's heart to tear, leave alone the eyes tearing. It bleeds the heart, what they underwent, and in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But look at their faith, how strong it was. Not one of them said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we accepted Islam, we gave our hands into your hands, and we expected all kinds of comfort and luxuries, but what is happening now? They were prepared to go through with whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going through. His beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who stood at his side all his life that he was with her, she never for a moment flinched or pulled back whatever she had, because she was a very wealthy lady when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam married her. She used to trade. What did she do with all what she had? Without Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forcing her, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam pressurizing her, coercing her. Willfully, happily, she spent everything on the cause of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. She was the one who comforted him when he came from the cave of Hira. When he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. That also we have discussed many times, in what beautiful words she consoled him. She stood at his side. She was committed. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was a husband of that nature. When Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam was a husband of that kind, that was so kind and so generous and so forgiving and so large-hearted and so compassionate and so caring, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him a wife also like that. We are complaining all the time. Sometimes the wives are complaining, sometimes the husbands are complaining. But then we must look at our akhlaq and look at our character. Is it that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is that woman gone mad, what? If we have to behave like how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam acted and behaved, then is she off her head, what? That she's going to complain. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was consoled by this wife of his. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not even marry anyone else until Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was in his marriage. She also passed away in the 10th year. Abu Talib, although he did not accept Islam, but he was the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who dearly loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He went out of his way for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This whole history, we can't go into details. He also passed away. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had lost his mother, he had lost his father, he had lost his grandfather, he lost his uncle, he lost his wife. Anything that you can think of outside support, everything was gone. Allah Ta'ala wanted to show that this is my Nabi. I will take care of him. I don't want anybody to say tomorrow that he survived because of our support. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now is made to go for this Mi'raj. Cutting short everything, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is taken for this Mi'raj to show him, to inform him of his greatness, of his position, that what is his position in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Don't look at the difficulties that he has undergone. Don't look at the hardships he has experienced. Don't look at all the other problems that he had to bear. Look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what is the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sight. So the angel comes through the roof to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The reason for that I explained before too is that a journey was going to be undertaken in which strange things were going to happen. So from the beginning, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being informed, or he's being prepared for that journey so that he does not feel any kind of discomfort. Strange happenings before him will come. So if that roof opened and then closed and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken out of it, so it shows that very soon certain things will happen in his life, which will be very similar, and that was that when he was brought near the Zamzam, near the Haram, he was brought by the Kaaba Sharif. So then his heart, his chest was opened, his heart was removed and washed in the water of Zamzam. And it was filled with Iman and Hikmah, which was brought on a golden tray. Now that is the gist of all those ahadith that is related to his coming up to the Haram Sharif. Now this also has been explained many times, that in those days when a person said the heart was removed, the chest was opened and all those kind of things, then people would have said immediately that he's talking nonsense. How can we ever believe in such a phenomenon? But heart plants has become so common that if a person does not believe in it, he can just go a few meters away from his house to the nearest hospital where they do heart transplants or bypasses, and he will see what happens. So there is nothing strange. Allah Ta'ala used signs for those people who did not want to believe. So Islam is not against science. We can progress as much as we want in science. Allah Ta'ala has not stopped us. There's no limit to what progress we can make in the scientific world. In fact, the Muslims were the leaders at one time. But our problem is that when we make progress in any field, then the first thing that is affected is our iman. The more progress the person makes in that field, the more rejection is of iman and Islam. Whereas it should be increasing his iman and increasing his Islam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his heart was washed with water of Zamzam to show the great significance of this Mubarak water. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and Zamzam water sprang at the feet of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam at his heel. So his heart was also washed with that water. And it is stated that it is the water of Jannah. All the virtues of the water of Zamzam, there are so many that have been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is not the occasion for that. This iman and hikmah which was filled in, it was not a question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, na'uzu billah, not having iman and hikmah. The whole world got iman and hikmah because of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This was a kind of preparation that was made, as I've explained many times, that when you have these racing cars, then they have special kind of petrol and they are given special kind of boosting. So like that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his heart was prepared for this journey that was going to take place. Then the buraq was brought, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on this buraq, the speed of which was the distance that his gaze could see. That was the speed. Now again, as far as speed is concerned, these days we do not have to be really told how fast a person can travel. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on this buraq. Now there are many things about this buraq itself, but I'm not going into those details. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was brought up to Masjid Al-Aqsa. That means the furthest masjid. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam minal masjidil harami ilal masjidil aqsa. Subhan, glory be to him. He who took his servant, his abd, in a portion of the night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Every word of the Quran Sharif, it is an ocean. First of all, the word Subhan itself, when is it used? If you look at the Quran Sharif, in many, many places you'll come across Subhan. It gives the clear-cut meaning that there is no deficiency in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat and power. The weakness is in us. There is no weakness and no deficiency in Allah ta'ala's qudrat and his power and his might and his glory. If you look at Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, in the stomach of the whale, in the darkness of the night and the darkness of the ocean, he called out to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Without going into any explanation and details of that, he said, سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ. Glory of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, I'm in the stomach of this whale. It's a darkness of the night, deep down in the ocean. So I am helpless. I do not have any kind of power and might, no qudrat, to come out of the stomach of this whale. But you, O Allah, you are powerful. You listen even in the bottom of the ocean, in the stomach of the whale. So I am in distress. So give me relief from this distress. That is what it meant. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala heard his call. Now where is he calling out? Right in the bottom of the ocean. And Allah ta'ala is listening to his call. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah ta'ala responded to his call. and gave him freedom from the distress. And again, we are given the message that till the day of Qiyamah, if believers also have to call to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I'm giving you an explanation. Allah Ta'ala will listen to their call. Allah Ta'ala is not gone weak. I've mentioned this many times. That the weakness hasn't come in Islam. There's no weakness in Islam. We say Islam has gone weak. Islam hasn't gone weak at all. How can Islam go weak? Yes, we can say the Muslims, we Muslims have gone weak in our amal and in our actions. Allah Ta'ala hasn't gone weak. Allah Ta'ala, if he can listen to Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam and give him relief from their distress, cannot he give the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam relief from their distress, which we are going through at present in the world? So that shows there is some weakness that is in us. It is not in Allah Ta'ala. Then look at Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. When there was this information that was given to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam about everything. First it was given to the angels, everything. Just to give you the gist of it. The angels were given the knowledge of certain things. And Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was given the knowledge of whatever Allah Ta'ala wished to give him the knowledge of. And thereafter when the angels were questioned, this whole tafsir of it, then what did they say? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. What did the angel say? سُبْحَانَكَ. A person enters into namaz. Outside namaz, he is a cabinet minister, he is a king, he is a prime minister, he is a member of parliament, he is a mufti sahib, he is a qari sahib, he is a haji sahib. He is every kind of sahib that you can think of. But the moment he says Allahu Akbar, then what must he start his namaz with? His Subhanakallahumma, an ayat of the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala could have said start the namaz with an ayat of the Quran Sharif. What we are told to start the namaz with? Subhanak. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarak asmuk. There is great explanation and detail to this word Subhan itself. So Allah Ta'ala uses the same word when He's taking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for Mi'raj. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylam min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. Masjid al haram means the sacred mosque, the whole area around the Kaaba Sharif. And some have said the whole of the Haram Sharif. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes him not in the whole night. The journey didn't take the whole night. Laylam min al masjid al haram. Laylan, the tanween is for taqleel. Meaning in a short portion of the night. This night again, it is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala dearly loves for his ibadat and for great gifts and great ni'mats upon his servants. The Quran Sharif was revealed at night. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Wama adraka ma laylatul qadr. So laylatul qadr, Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif. It was a night, the night of qadr, the night of majesty, the night of great blessings. For the revelation of such great ni'mat, the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala chose the night. If you look at the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was again at night. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu on his bed and he went out with all the details that are there in the books of history. Again the hijrat was at night. Laylatul Barat, it is a night. The Eidain, great virtues of Eidain, the night. Besides those days, but there's great virtues of the night. So many other things Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave at night. Although it is a voluntary prayer, or it is optional prayer, that is tahajjud. But the amount of ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala blesses a person on tahajjud is unreal. Because that is an optional prayer, and this person is getting up, is leaving this warm bed of his, and is standing before his Allah when the whole world is fast asleep. Look at what Allah Ta'ala gives. And therefore he addresses Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also and says, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qumil layl. So this night, which was for virtues, which was for great gifts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Mi'raj takes place at night, and that is the night which we have most neglected. Our nights go in television programs, in movies, in clubhouses, in discos, in cinemas, in theaters, in adultery, in fornication, in gambling dens. That is where our nights are spent. Whereas Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about those whom he has blessed with taqwa. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ آخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. They sleep but a little at night. And to make it easy for lazy people like us, some have given that ma'az nafiyah, and they say they sleep, but a little part of the night they remain awake. But what I'm getting across to you is that let us look at our nights. Where are our nights spent? And look at the night of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the nights of the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in. They fulfilled the rights of their wives, of their children, and everything they did. They balanced everything. It does not mean that the moment they went home, they put the musalla and whole night they were in prayer. That is not Islam. There is a balance. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spoke cheerfully with his wives. He listened to them. When the Sahaba Ikram spoke even about worldly things, but which were not haram, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remained silent and listened. He balanced everything. The night also he shared. The rights of the wives were fulfilled, and at the same time, the right of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke aabad kar. Apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke aabad kar. Get up, put your head in sajda, put your heart in sajda, and plead to your Allah, to your Rabb, to your sustainer. That is what we should be doing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was brought to Masjid Aqsa. Now there again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was made to make the imamat of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the Rasuls. Allah Ta'ala gathered them all at Masjid Aqsa, which is now under occupation. Due to our sins, our negligence, and our weakness, and our shortcomings, and our ghaflat, so much so that if we are living near the masajid also, whether it is in Palestine or other parts of the world, there are so many who do not get the tawfiq of even making their 5 times salat. So there is no doubt that there is a calamity, there is a disaster, there is a tragedy, there is pain and suffering in the hearts of the people. They are trying in their own way to liberate. They are trying in their own way to remove the oppression and the tyranny. They are giving their lives, they are giving their wealth, their properties are being snatched away. Bombardment of a kind that we never heard of is taking place. So we make a lot of dua that Allah Ta'ala give Masjid Aqsa and Jerusalem back to the Muslim Ummah. And in whichever way we can assist and help them, then we should do that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Masjid Aqsa, he is made to lead the prayers to show that he is Imamul Anbiya. He is the Sayyidul Anbiya. He is the leader of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Then without going again into details, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, according to some riwayat, it was when he came out, and some whilst he was on his way, and some when he was returning, but whatever it was. As I said, I'm not going to be following the sequence. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then the Mi'raj was brought. But before that, he was presented with cup or vessel of milk and a vessel of water, milk and wine. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not accept the wine, he accepted the milk. So the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that you have adopted fitra, the natural thing. For if you had taken the wine, then your ummah would have gone astray. Now this is again something that you have heard many times, that the position of the Nabi alayhi in the ummah, that whatever he does, the ummah was supposed to follow. So just like that, the parents, they also have that kind of a position in their household. That if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, ummah would have gone astray if he had to take that wine. It shows clearly that if the parents have to disobey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if they are negligent, if they are going to watch all the filth on the television screen and consider it as halal and permissible, and if somebody has to talk about it, then they say these people are fools, they are orthodox, they are living in the camel age. And then when the children become drunk and the children become addicts and when the children become abusive to their wives and children and when the children become completely astray, then at that time they look for some Maulana Sahab, for nasihat and counseling. But we're not prepared to change our condition. خُد تو بدلتے نہیں قرآن کو بدل دیتے ہیں. Wallah, the situation is so dangerous and so serious that if for our enjoyment and for our happiness we cannot get rid of those haram things, then we must be prepared for tragedy in our lives. The effect that it is having, little children, they want to kill their parents. Little children, what? Did we ever hear of 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds taking knives and stabbing people or shooting people or committing suicide, jumping from balconies and doing kind of things that we never ever dreamt of? So who does not know about the background messaging? We heard of it with regards to music. We know what it is doing to the mind. It is destroying the mind of the children. And when they are getting up to mischief, and when they are becoming rebellious, they just don't want to listen to the parents or to anyone. They are threatening the parents that we will do this to you and do that to you. So we must look at the cause. We must always look at the cause. Every cause has an effect. So spend our nights correctly. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this Mi'raj was like a lift. Now again, those days, if you had to explain that, it was very difficult. Now we go to the supermarkets, we go to the buildings where they've got 150 floors and 200 floors, and we press the button and the lift takes you up. Somebody asked those people who are building in Dubai, that how many more floors you will be going up? There seems to be no limit. You want to build the highest building in the world. So how many more floors you will be going up? So they said, we don't know. I said, why you don't know? He says, because in Malaysia, they're also building one. So we are keeping a watch. How far they go, we'll go one more higher. How far they go, we'll go one more higher. That is our condition. So we press a button and we are right up. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's lift was not like our lifts. One rung of the lift was with gold, one of silver, and embedded with pearls and rubies and diamonds and whatever you can think of. Comes up to the first heaven, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Jibreel asks for permission, and Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam meets him and welcomes him there. This whole going up also, there were thousands of angels on either side of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to show the respect. His welcoming was of a different kind. If we have to go somewhere, who is going to welcome us? And especially these film actors and actresses, when they go, they say so many thousands of people welcome them. What kind of people welcome them? People who are not even having faith in Allah Ta'ala, no Islam, no Iman. And even those who had some kind of faith, then look at their condition, fisq and fujur. And here the angels are taking him along. And he's welcomed there. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam welcomes him as his son. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam he meets in the first heaven. I've explained this again previously, that all other things that we find, whether it's the moon, the stars and everything else, the whole galaxy, we find it is all beneath the first heaven. It's got nothing to do with the first heaven. It is all suspended there. The moon is 240,000 miles away from the earth. That's all. The sun, 9 million miles. If you look at some of the stars, they say it is millions of light years away. So where can they reach the first heaven? And the second heaven, Hazrat Yahya, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Hazrat Yahya. And the third one, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And the fourth was Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. And the fifth, Hazrat Harun. Sixth, Hazrat Musa. And seventh, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now again, each Nabi, why particularly this Nabi? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going through a period of life in which it was very, very relevant. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was, of course, the father of all mankind. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was the closest to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's nubuwat. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Yahya, they were troubled by the Jews. So much so that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they said that they want to crucify him, or they had crucified him. Allah Ta'ala said they are liars. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was also going to make hijrat. And when he's going to make hijrat, then he's going to be troubled by the Jews for no more. So he's being shown that meet this Anbiya, they also went through that kind of test. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, his brothers were jealous and envious of him to such an extent that they went and took him and put him in the well. He was sold in the marketplace, he was brought into the king. There again there was so much of problem that he had to face. There was false allegation and there was all kinds of things that happened in his life. But finally the same brothers came before him and he told them, La tasriba alaykumul yawm. No reproach against you today. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did the same thing. When Fatah Makkah took place, he said the same thing. He said, I tell you the same thing that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said. So he was again being told that look at Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the kind of jealousy and envy and the enmity and the hatred. But those same people came before him and asked him for forgiveness after that. So don't worry about all what is happening. The same people will come to you. And it happened that they all gathered there, they asked for maaf and forgiveness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was no question of revenge. Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, wa rafa'anahu makanan aliyya. High station and position Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala elevated him to. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was also being given that. You take Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, again all the kinds of troubles that the Bani Israel gave to him. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it was going to be Hajj that was going to be performed finally. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in that progeny. Now if you have to discuss all these things, these are subjects on its own. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes into the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this at-tahiyyat, with regards to that riwayat, there may be some kalam. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes into the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What does he offer Allah ta'ala? You have heard many, many times. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. When a person goes to some king, he goes to some ruler, he goes to somebody respectable, he takes some gift and go. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was the gift. This was the presentation that he made to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That all my oral ibadat, my physical ibadat, my monetary ibadat, everything for you, O Allah. There was no shay in it for anybody else. There was ikhlas-e-kamil in it. Another ingredient which is missing so much in our lives. Everything has become commercialized. Take any aspect of Islam and you'll find it commercialized. There's nothing seems to be left for which we do not want a payment. Everything is commercialized. Once again, I'm not saying it is haram and it is forbidden to make some money or some profit. If a person, for example, is an agent of Hajj, or if the person is selling some kitabs, or the person is doing some publication, if he makes some profit, I'm not saying it's haram, it's permissible. Or if a person is taking some wage to make some imamat, I'm not saying it is haram. Or to teach in the madrasa. But what I am saying is that, was that the purpose of our deen? That the only thing that is in our minds is nothing but money, money and money. How much can we make out of this? In everything, how much can I make out of it? Just now the month of Ramadan will come, there will be so many timetables. So many timetables that if a masjid has got 500 musallis, we'll have 10,000 timetables. So many publications. And what will they be there for? So that our advertisement can be carried into the masjid. If I have to tell somebody, stand here and make announcement that I sell clothes, or I sell shoes, or I sell furniture, or I sell meat, or I sell chips, and I sell biscuits, and I sell this, and I sell that, we'll say, haram, haram. How can you make announcement of all these type of things inside the masjid? So we can't get into the masjid like that. So now we will say in the name of deen, that I am contributing so that the deen of Islam may spread, and for the propagation of the deen. But in the meantime, the publication and the publishers and the people that are giving the advertisements, it is for nothing but to catch the musallis through those advertisements. If I'm speaking lies, then ask the people. Otherwise, make a contribution. Say, right, okay, what are you doing? I'm publishing this newspaper, I'm publishing this magazine, I'm publishing this. Okay, take from my side 200 rand, 500 rand, 1000 rand, finish. Why is it necessary that we must have, and half the newspaper is filled with nothing but advertisements. And sometimes it is pictures of saris and ladies and everything else, and people walk into the masjid and then they read the newspapers. And especially those with photographs, it's even worse. How many masajid? Because it is not yet namaz time, so the person will pick up one newspaper from the outside and he's got pictures of ladies, men and everything that's happening in this hall and that hall. And they are sitting in the masjid, raising it up and reading it. So I'm not saying it's haram to advertise. I'm not saying haram. Don't misunderstand. Even in those papers, you can advertise. All I am saying is that, is there anything left in our deen which we have not commercialized? Then we want barakat, barakat, barakat. Where will barakat come from? There's nothing for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So what does Mi'raj teach us? At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my oral, physical, monetary, all whatever I do, Ya Allah, it is for your pleasure. Once again, I clarify that I'm not saying it is haram, it is forbidden. All I'm saying is that we must check our intentions and niyats before we go about doing whatever we are doing. It's permissible. I repeat, once I mentioned, and it is the truth what I said. However, I did not mean all agents. What I said is that some travel agents, some, remember the word some, they make 5-star promises when they give a Hajj package. Now we have all this Sahuk and many other bodies, that some watchdogs and all that, but there's so much of corruption. They call it watchdogs. Any case, so I said some agents, they make 5-star promises. They speak 6-star lies. And then the hajis in Arafat, they raise their hands and give those agents 7-star curses. And that is the truth what I'm telling you. So let us check our intentions, our niyat. What are we doing all these things for? Is Allah Ta'ala's gone so weak, or Allah Ta'ala's treasures have gone empty? Is there some kind of inflation there or recession there that Allah Ta'ala cannot provide for us in a halal way, 100% halal with His pleasure, or there's a shortage there? Seek from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and see what He does not give. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he presents that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. سلامتی ہو آپ پر اے میرے نبی. اللہ تعالیٰ کی رحمت, اللہ تعالیٰ's mercy, peace, mercy and barakah. These are the three things that the whole world is in search of. Everybody is in search of peace. The conferences and seminars and big programs are being held to search for peace. Everybody wants peace in his life, in his home. And we want Allah Ta'ala's mercy and we want barakat. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he received this beautiful gift, then immediately he said, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. Peace be upon us and all the righteous servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So wherever a person is, wherever, whichever country he is, whatever color he is of, and whichever age and time he will come, if he is Allah Ta'ala's righteous servant, this dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been accepted there, and that is what we read in our namaz also. And we will get it. But if we do not become righteous, meaning fulfillment of the rights of everybody, paying to whomever, whatever is due, no abuse of anyone, no swearing and cursing and shouting and screaming for no reason. The person does not steal, he does not embezzle, he does not cheat. He lives on the surface of the earth, an ambassador of Islam. If any person comes into contact with him, then he sees Islam in the person's life. The person does not have to go to the books. So when the person is going to be righteous like that, Allah Ta'ala will give him peace also, Allah will give him tranquility in his life, Allah Ta'ala will give him barakat, Allah Ta'ala will keep him under the shade of his rahmat and mercy. The last ayat of Surah Baqarah were given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, last few verses of Surah Baqarah. And he was told that any person who has committed major sins also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive that person if he makes sincere tawbah, that's what it means. Besides shirk and kufr, that Allah ta'ala doesn't forgive. He was given the gift of 50 namazes. As he was returning, as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, yes, when he saw Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whenever I give this miraj talk and many other times, then at that time that thought comes that the Muslims, the believers have to wait until Jannat, which I have mentioned many times in my different programs, that we'll have to wait until Jannat. There we will be able to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with our naked eyes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his fortune. What a great Nabi Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed us with. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala removed those veils from his countenance. Unke rukh se niqaba jutegi, aaj nazaron ki miraj hogi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko, muskurane ki mohlat milegi. The veil will be removed from Allah ta'ala's countenance. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was shown many, many things in this night of Miraj. With regards to Jannat and the ni'mats of Jannat, so many ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And with regards to the fire of Jahannam, so many ahadith. Islam is balanced, there's no extremism. It's not that it's only hellfire, hellfire, hellfire. But if there is a country in which they don't have a jail, will that country be considered to be complete in its administration? If South Africa didn't have jails, could we say that the country is, with the jails we have got no peace? The jails are expanding every day. They can't accommodate the number of crooks. So even human beings understand that there has to be some jail also, some prison also for people who are not prepared to listen and understand and they are causing problem to the society. They are rebellious. So like that, Allah Ta'ala has got his prison also. Now when we talk about hellfire, then why do we say we don't want to hear about hellfire? We only want to hear about Jannat. Yes, if you want to hear about Jannat only so that we do the a'mal of Jannat and go to Jannat, then alhamdulillah. But there are many who will listen to all the a'mal of Jannat and still do the a'mal of Jahannam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that he was shown that a person, his head was being smashed and crushed, or a large number of people, heads were being crushed with boulders, and they come back to their original form, it's crushed again. He was informed by Jibreel al-Islam, these are the people who don't make namaz. Their heads used to get very heavy at the time of Salat, because one of the gifts of Mi'raj was Salat. Nabi alayhi salam was first given 50 Salat. If we can't make 5, we must thank Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that he asked him to keep on going backwards and forwards, and Allah Ta'ala kept reducing it by 5, and then he said, now this 5, whoever makes it, he'll get the reward of the 50 Salat. Allah Ta'ala has promised that Allah Ta'ala will remove the difficulties of this person with regards to his rizq if he's going to make 5 times Salat. His book of deeds will be given in his right hand. Azab of Qabr will be removed. He'll cross the pul sirat like lightning. Now all these type of ni'mats that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, any difficulty that came, first thing he hastened towards Salat. Strong wind and breeze, he went into the masjid and started Salat. Eclipse Salat. Moon eclipse Salat. Any kind of difficulty and hardship Salat. Because Allah Ta'ala has said, Ista'inu bis sabri wa salat. Seek Allah Ta'ala's help with patience and with salat. So he taught us that this salat is not some kind of a burden. One person listening to this whole program of Mi'raj somewhere. So the Mawlana said in the bayan that Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, go back again, tell Allah Ta'ala to reduce it. So he reduced it. It kept going backwards and forwards until it was left 5. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, go again and ask Allah Ta'ala to reduce it, because with my ummah I tried, they couldn't even make their one namaz or whatever salat was on them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, now I cannot go back. I feel shy to go back, because it means that now you are saying that I don't want any salat. So the person told to that Maulana sahab, he said, Maulana, I wish he had listened to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and gone back. So we wouldn't have had to make any salat in our lives. Now that stupid did not know that this was not a mountain and a burden. It was not some kind of pain and suffering. Allah Ta'ala was giving a gift. It was our connection with Allah Ta'ala. It was our mi'raj. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'mineen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, mi'raj was there, and our mi'raj is when we go into sajda. And it is a connection. This is that connection which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us. How we dial our numbers to phone calls, different places we make. So like that, this 2, 4, 4, 3, and 4. The 2 rakats of Fajr and 4, so all these farais. Now all this is a connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It's a pity that we haven't had the taste of Salat. Our Salat, we can't have a taste because we make it with such speed and such haste. As if Qiyamah has already come. We are desperately in a hurry. Outside we've got all the time in the world to talk and jab and engage in all kinds of panchat. But when it comes to namaz, we are in a desperate hurry. Our rukus are not right. Our sajdas are not right. It is just in a hurry. We make it because we have to make it. Now with that kind of namaz, ever bring sukoon in the heart? Will it bring peace? Will it bring happiness? Will it bring all those rewards? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that this is what was happening to them. He saw people with copper nails and they were scratching their own bodies and they were raking them and they were bleeding because of that. He was told, who are these people? He said, these are the people who used to backbite. Those who used to backbite and slander, this is their punishment here. They used to eat the flesh of their brothers, backbiting, slander, which is so common in our society. Just hear from somewhere some gossip and the rumors after that start spreading like wildfire. There are people whose tongues were being cut with scissors of fire. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was informed that these are the wazeen of your ummah. Those who give sermons, those who give talks, those who give speeches, and those who give big bayans. Now, these are some of them who used to give all those bayans, but they never used to make amal on it. They used to forget themselves as if those bayans were only for the audience. But they used to forget themselves. Now look at the world at large. How many programs are taking place? How many speeches? Speeches unlimited. In fact, I always say that something that will really sell well on the stock market His speech is unlimited. That will have a very great amount of bias. Speech is unlimited. Everybody is giving a speech. No amal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that there were pots of curry, of meat, nice, freshly cooked, with lovely aroma. I'm just giving you explanation. And on the other side is decayed, rotten, stench, filthy, smelling kind of meat. And some people were forced to eat that meat. They were going to go and eat that meat, which was decayed, rotten. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, these are those people of your ummah. Allah ta'ala blessed them with good wives, clean, chaste wives. But they go and spend their nights with those who are in adultery, or with those who are prostitutes, or with those who are in other kind of haram. So they go and spend their nights with them. They make their wives suffer. So many wives are complaining today that our husbands are nowhere to be found. They only pitch up early mornings. I don't know who they are. But we must check ourselves. We don't have to get angry over those wives if they are complaining. Do we have the right to do that? That we have a wife and we go and spend the night with the mistress. We go and spend the night with the prostitutes. We go and spend the night with all the haram women. This is what Mi'raj is all about. To change, to bring about a change in our life. Make sabr over those wives if they are not very pretty, or they are gone old now, or they cannot now anymore fulfill those rights. Think of the days of happiness that have been spent with them. Make a little bit of sabr in this world. Look at the rewards that Allah Ta'ala will give. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this was the reason for that. People whose stomachs were huge, and inside there were snakes that were wriggling, and you could see them from the outside. Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, He will make it happen like that on the day of Qiyamah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that what is this now? These are the people who devour interest. Interest. Now we say the taking of interest and giving of interest and everything is also sawab now. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hain ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. What a kind of revolution has taken place. Kaisa ye inqilab hai. Dekh ke dil kabab hai. Our hearts have become like kebabs which are being fried on the fire, roasted. Kehte ab sawab hai. Now we say the sawab. In what? In taking interest and in gambling. Now we will say that who said that it's sawab? You'll ask me, I will tell you. There are so many people that queued up when they said the lotto will be distributing charities. I mentioned this before also in one bayan. So number of Muslim organizations also queued up. They also gave their names that we are also doing this work and that work. So give us also from that lotto takings. Now that Muslim who is going to say that give us from the lotto takings, will he have the courage to say that it is haram? Many, many people, without exaggeration, I've got letters, many, many people who gave up their gambling habits when I explained that whether you win 1 million or 10 million or 100 million, you must just think that you have won nothing but pigs. That if a person has to inform a Muslim that you have won 60 million pigs, so therefore call the photographers and call the television crew and call everybody to take your picture and put it in the newspaper that you have won 60 million pigs. Will any Muslim be happy? He's liable to beat him up. So any haram that is coming from any source, it is just like that. It is nothing but pigs. So if we consider pigs to be so much haram, then why not interest money? Why not gambling money? It is haram, it's haram. So they queued up for that. And then one person, he went for borrowing money to a famous Muslim money lender. So the person gave him at 10%, whereas the prime that time must have been 17, 18, 20, whatever it was. So he says that when I questioned this person, that how can you charge me interest? Let's do some kind of other deal which is Islamically right and you make a profit, but this is interest that you just want to give me a loan and you want so much money back, 10%. So he says, I don't think Allah Ta'ala will ever be angry and displeased with me. How can Allah Ta'ala be angry? Because I'm doing you a favor. If you have to go to the bank and borrow, they're going to charge you 17% or 20%. I'm giving you a 10%. So is that not sawab? Is that not helping a person and getting sawab? May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us hidayat. Now there's so much, especially Miraj, you can speak for a whole night and it will not end. Those days when I was in good health and the audience also was like that. I'm talking about the 70s. The audience also was prepared to sit and listen. Then we used to speak 2 hours, 2.5 hours of Miraj. But now if I have to speak 2.5 hours, then a few will collapse and few will curse. In any case, I too don't have the strength anymore now. But I make dua, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand that this was a great night in the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and great things were shown to him. He came back with great gifts from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and whole of Islam is nothing but full of peace and whichever angle you look at Islam, there's nothing but beauty in it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's greatness, if we have to talk about with regards to this Miraj night, we will not be able to do justice. Volumes have been written on Miraj. Different Sahaba's reports. But I conclude on this, and let us make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that He forgive our sins and He give us the tawfiq to implement in our lives what we have learned about the happenings in the night of Miraj. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate loving Allah. Oh my most caring Allah, most beneficent, most merciful Allah. We are extremely sinful servants of yours. We haven't even brought the faraiz into our lives, my beloved Allah. We are far, far away from Thee. We have shown great negligence. We have become rebellious. We have distanced ourselves from Deen, from Sharia, from Quran, from Sunnah. My beloved Allah, in our lives we find nothing but disobedience. My beloved Allah, whatever they may be, we are your servants, we are your slaves. My beloved Allah, we are your slaves. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. We could have hidden our sins from our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, but we could not have hidden our sins from you. You are well aware of everything that we have done. My beloved Allah, you who have blessed billions of people with sight, how can you be blind to our actions and our deeds? You could have seized us there and then. You could have destroyed us there and then. You could have embarrassed us there and then when we were committing sins, when we were disobeying you. But how forgiving you are, how loving you are, how compassionate you are, how generous and tolerant you are. In spite of all our sins, you have given us so much to eat and drink and wear and travel around. Homes and shelter, my beloved Allah. You have blessed us with sight, with hearing, with speech and every ni'mat of yours. My beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. We are not bragging about our sins, we are not justifying our sins. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Nafs o shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko tabah. Ey mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri pana. My beloved Allah, nafs and shaitan have ganged up against us. They want to see us dragged down the gutters of embarrassment, shame, disgrace and humiliation. Nafs and shaitan want to see us go into the fire of Jahannam. And you want to give us the ni'mats and bounties of Jannah. Ya Allah, you want to see us enjoy the best of this world and the best of the Akhirah. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Take us on the road that leads to you. Take us on the road that leads to Jannah. Take us on the road that leads to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, if you are not ours, nothing will be ours. Our homes will not give us comfort. Our businesses will not give us barakat. Our lives will become tightened and strained and narrowed. My beloved Allah will live a life of fear. And my beloved Allah, all kinds of anxieties, worries and problems. My beloved Allah, become ours and make us yours. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Ey mere Allah, hamara ban ja, hamein apna bana le. Become ours and make us yours, my Allah. Koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangta hai, ilahi mein tujhse talabgar tera. People seek different things from you, we are seeking you from you. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to implement in our lives the 5 times salat, which was a great gift given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to get up for Fajr Salat, to perform our Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib and Isha on time. My beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to perform our Salat with khushu and khuzu. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to read our Salat as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us our Salat. My beloved Allah, distance us from adultery, from fornication, from taking of interest and giving interest, from gambling, and from all major and minor sins. Oh, my beloved Allah, we are extremely weak. But my beloved Allah, you are not weak. Ey mere Allah, hamare hal par raham farma. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Open the floodgates of your forgiveness for us. My beloved Allah, don't seize us on account of our sins. If a dog is chased from one butcher, it can go to another. If a beggar is chased from one home, he can go to another. If you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness from us, where do we go, my Allah? Ya Allah, bless us with barakat in our rizq. Barakat in our sustenance. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. There are so many brothers and sisters of ours, so many people whose parents are sick and ailing, their children are sick and ailing, family members are sick and ailing. Ya Allah, whosoever is sick and ailing in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether they're in hospitals, in clinics, in homes or amongst us, bless everyone with complete shifa from all their ailments and sicknesses. My beloved Allah, we know that sometimes sicknesses and ailments can be a mercy in disguise. Even if it is a mercy, change it to the mercy of good health, because we are extremely weak, do not test us. Those who are in financial difficulties, those who have no employment, Ya Allah, bless them all with rizq halal in abundance. Ya Allah, make it easy for them to pay off their debts and liabilities. Ya Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who have passed away, fill their graves with noor. Bless their family members, kith and kin, with sabr jameel, ajr azim. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, make their children pious, righteous, obedient to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the parents. Give the parents the tawfiq, the himmat and the courage to throw out of their homes and lives everything that has caused so much of corruption in the lives of their children. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to give our children the proper upbringing. Oh my beloved Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes. Make them sadqa jariya for us. Those who have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Let the winds of Hidayat blow throughout the continents. Bless everyone with Islam and Iman. Those who have become obstinate and they have made up their minds they will never accept Islam and continue with the suppression and oppression, with tyranny and with torture, my beloved Allah, then remove them from the surface of the earth like you remove the Aad and the Samud. Ya Allah, send gale force winds against them, cause their planes to crash, cause their ships to sink, create division amongst their ranks. Unite the hearts of parents and children, brothers and sisters, family members, husbands and wives, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, who do we turn towards besides you? There is no one for us besides you. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Don't deprive us of the good things of this world and the good things of akhirat. My beloved Allah, fill our hearts with your love, with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ek din marna hai akhir maut. We have to die someday. So many janazas we have shouldered. Someday our janaza will also proceed in some direction. My beloved Allah, before the ghusl of mayyat is given to our bodies, let us pour the water of tawbah above our hearts. Before the garment of kafan is put above our bodies, let us put the garment of taqwa above our hearts. My beloved Allah, don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, popping drugs in our mouths, in adultery, in fornication, or any kind of haram action. We don't know when the angel of death will strike. Young children, young people are leaving the world suddenly. Gale force winds, earthquakes, tsunamis, all kinds of disasters, hijackings, murders and killings. My beloved Allah, heart attacks. Suddenly the angel of death takes away the life. Don't let the angel of death visit us, my beloved Allah, in any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Medina Tayyibah. Tamanna hai ke gulzare Medina ab watan ho. Waha ke gulshano mein mera bhi koi chaman ho. Basar ab zindagi apni diyare quds mein hoti. Wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi goro kafan hota. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, at the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. Let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Baqi. Let our bodies become a patch of the earth of Jannatul Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our time. Ya Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he asked for us. He begged for us. How much of trouble and sacrifice he took for the sake of us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, give the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occupation once again of Masjid Aqsa, of Jerusalem. My beloved Allah, wherever the Ummah is suffering, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, Sudan, wherever it may be. Why will our Allah remove their suffering, their pain and their problem? You are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With your fazal, with your kindness, with your ihsan, fulfill all their good wishes and good desires. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the problem, the sicknesses, the diseases, the tests and the trials of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, remove their pain and suffering and hardships and difficulties. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, accept the works of deen that are taking place. Tabligh wa da'wat ki mehnat qubool farma, masajid, madaris, khanqahon ki mehnat qubool farma. تمام دینی اداروں کو قبول فرما. ان اللہ و ملائکتہ یصلون علی النبی یا ایہا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما. اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد وعلی آل سیدنا محمد مبارک وسلم. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد لله رب العالمين.